This is NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from Linda Mood Bell Learning Centers. For 25 years, helping individuals learn to read and comprehend. 800-300-1818.
WCVE Public Radio. Brian Ford joins us on the line now from RBC Wealth Management for his weekly analysis of business and financial news. Good morning, Brian.
Morning, Wayne. Are you going to fill out your college basketball bracket this week?
Oh, sure. Well, it's March Madness for basketball fans, but it hasn't been very mad on the stock markets just lately.
No, I think that's a good point. Last week was kind of a relatively muted week, considering how volatile things have been the last couple of years. As we say, not too much madness yet for March. So there was that hiccup on Tuesday, a 200-point loss in the markets that got people's attention. Maybe not unexpected. We had been 3 or 4 months before we'd had anything like that recently, so that was kind of interesting. Greece continued its on-again, off-again saga of debt negotiations, which pretty much went as expected. Some clouds have kind of been gathering over Brazil, a large economic grower, but they showed slower-than-expected growth. And, of course, as you just heard, fuel prices continue to rise. Analysts remain divided right now as to whether the U.S. market's strong run since October will stall out, or is it going to keep going? For what it's worth, Wayne, we note that money continues to pour into bets against the market, which sometimes has been a very good contrarian sign.
The jobs report for February came out last Friday. It was very good.
Yeah.
While the unemployment rate stayed the same, 200,000 new jobs were added, and especially if you compare the trend over the past 3 months, it's very encouraging.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Wayne. There is no way to slice this one other than good news all the way around. Jobs report very strong for the U.S. economy, as you say, adding 227,000 new jobs in the month of February alone. Yes, warmer weather did help, but it was solid growth all the way around. The unemployment rate, you're right, stayed high at 8.3%, and that's mostly because more people are starting to look for work again. They were off the rolls, now they're back on the rolls again. It's going to take quite a while, maybe several years, before the unemployment rate is back to what we'll call normal levels of 6% or so. As you say, the trend is very good, too. The rolling 12-month average is well over 100,000 jobs a month, which is healthy. Wayne, the next major sign of economic health we're watching is the next round of bank stress tests. You remember that?
Oh, yeah. It's where regulators put the banks on a treadmill, so to speak.
Yes, exactly right. Mm. That may be released as early as this week. This would be a big boost to consumer confidence if the analysts show major banks have shored up much of the gaps they had from 2008 through 2010. We would expect that if the stress tests come back in good form, U.S. banks may get clearance to raise their dividends and buy back stock again. Healthy banks, Wayne, are vital to a growing economy since their funding and loans provide the lifeline for small businesses that really make up the majority of job growth in the U.S. these days.
We understand that many insurance companies are withdrawing from long-term care insurance.
Yeah.
Tell us why and what the impact of that may be.
Well, Wayne, this is a classic case of good intentions and bad results. It's another result of the zero interest rate policy in the U.S. for the past 3 years plus. The market for long-term care insurance is just drying up. Many listeners know that this is the coverage that allows for payment of benefit, whether you're in an assisted living facility, a nursing facility, whether you have skilled care at home. This is a very big deal because most surveys show that most of us, when we reach the age of 65 or older, are going to need some form of long-term care. Anyway, Prudential made news last week because they said they were dropping out of the long-term care marketplace. They are now the 10th of the top 20 long-term care providers who have stopped selling policies in the last 5 years. Why? Simple. They're not making money at it. MetLife, Unum, and others are seeing people stay on claim for much longer than they expected, and the companies are not able to earn money on their portfolios since interest rates have been at zero for so long. So these companies are either raising their premiums a lot, like 50% has been common, or they're just bailing. Many investors with this existing coverage are having to decide whether to scale back coverage, reduce the inflation rider, which is a very important factor, or maybe go to some kind of hybrid policy. Anyway, it's tough times in the long-term care market.
Mm-hmm. We have just about a minute and a half. Let's turn our telescope abroad now. We've talked so much about China. There's another South Pacific country, Australia, that seems to be faring fairly well during the recession.
I would say doing very well. It's interesting because Australia is an example of a country, speaking of low interest rates, where their interest rates are high, very high and very competitive. Life has been good down under throughout the recession, as opposed to the rest of the world, because they are so rich in commodities, and their neighbor, of course, is China, whose strong growth has been helping all of their neighbors. Australia, interest rates are higher than they were in 2009. By comparison, the U.S. benchmark rate is about zero. In Australia, it's about 4.25%. That's a very big difference. However, there are some rumblings that things may be cooling off in Australia. Their red-hot real estate market in Sydney had a very down year last year. And the country is experiencing major floods again in the north. And last year, that really hurt productivity. Toward that end, the Australian dollar has taken some hits recently, and it was widely expected that their central bank would continue to lower interest rates to prop things up like everyone else has been doing. But they chose not to do that last week. Bottom line is if demand from Europe and Asia for commodities remains strong and China continues its steady increase, the Australian dollar and the Australian economy will remain one of the world's strongest out there.
I see. All right, time's gone for this time, so we'll talk to you next time, Brian.
Thank you, Wayne.
Brian Ford of RBC Wealth Management joins us Monday mornings. It's 8:40.